Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball, and before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back, and for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47, have a car wash for €2.47, or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cent. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.
Football on Off The Ball.
The Messi fairy tale in 2022 was absolutely right. Everybody in the world wanted Messi to win the World Cup. Even the opposition players, everyone felt he deserved it. It was been a long time coming.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football Daily on Off The Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Bohemians come from behind to beat Balkany in the Conference League. Tonight, both Derry City and Shelburne are in action in Europe. And what's it like working at this summer's World Cup? But first, second half goals from Douglas James Taylor and Ross Tierney saw Bohemians come from behind to win the first leg of their Conference League qualifier against Balkany. It was the final European tie at Dalymount Park before its redevelopment at the end of the season. Bows were 1-0 down at half-time after conceding a penalty, but Douglas James Taylor came off the bench and equalised in the 76th minute, and then came the moment of magic from Tierney in the 90th minute. He unleashed a volley from the edge of the box to give Alan Reynolds' side a one-goal lead ahead of the second leg in Kosovo next week. After the game, speaking to our reporter Ben Symes, Bows boss Alan Reynolds says they were brave with their attacking substitutions.
Yeah, look, come here. It was cagey, as you said, through the game. The last 15 minutes were electric. The crowd were bouncing. I suppose we were brave in our substitutions. A lot of attacking players on it. Harry Vaughan, Dale Rooney, Dougie, they all make an impact in that end. And, great character, I would have thought, from 1-0 down. Great, what a way to win it. Like the last game in Dalymount, the last European game, and Ross Tierney, who's a legend here. You know, he's come in and he wears his heart on his sleeve, and Bowes means so much to him. To end it with a goal like that was one of the best ones you've seen.
Those 74 minutes or so before that goal were really frustrating for your side. They made it tough for you, and it probably looked like you were knocking down the door a couple of times, but just couldn't find that goal to get the top off the performance.
Yeah, I think the challenge is, and what people struggle with is, League of Ireland is crash, bang, wallop, and you get after each other and all that. This one is tactical and it's different, and the crowd are looking and going, what's going on here? They want the normal, but I felt after half an hour they scored, they sat back and said, right, we'll take this, got tired, and we went through the gears, and I thought we were really strong, and we finished really strong, as I said, and I think we deserved that at the end, but we had to work hard for it.
Did you get a sense throughout the game that they were trying to frustrate the side? There was a couple of little niggly fouls and stuff throughout it as well.
Yeah, I would have thought so. But look, I mean, that's part and parcel of it. I'm sure there'll be plenty of that over in Kosovo next week, but it's halftime.
The match winner, Ross Tierney, felt that his winning goal was coming.
Yeah, you could feel it in game. I think the crowd could feel it as well. It started to get a bit louder, and I think the subs that came on today impacted the game. I think you can see our fitness levels, not just the starting 11, it's the sub that come on and impacted the game. But like you said, yeah, you can feel it in games. They start got a little bit deeper and you can see the gaps appearing, and thankfully we took advantage of that.
And if you want to hear those interviews back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. Derry City enter Conference League qualification after dropping down from the Europa League. Tiernan Lynch's side are in Croatia to face Rijeka, who beat Shelburne in the Europa League qualifiers last season. The winners of this tie will play Starnjan or Ilves in the third qualifying round. And Football Daily and Off The Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst.
Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball. And before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back. And for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47. Have a car wash for €2.47. Or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cent. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Applegreen store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.
Shelburne play their first European game of the season after going straight into the second qualifying round of the Conference League. It also happens to be a first home game in charge for new Shells boss John Russell, who started with a shock loss to Kerry on penalties in the Cup last week. Shells are at home to Estonian side Namakalju, who beat Linfield 3-2 on aggregate in the first qualifying round. The winners of this tie could play Ajax, provided the Dutch Giants can get past Vojvodina of Serbia. Kick-off at Talca Park is 7:45. Former Glentoran and Cove Ramblers manager Mick McDermott joined Owen Sheehan on the football show last night, fresh from working at the World Cup with Ghana and Carlos Queiroz. And he told Owen what it was like to work with some of the best players in Europe.
You mentioned there that most of the scouting you did was in other leagues. I'm sure you knew pretty much that Semenya was going to be on the plane and there's not a whole pile more to learn about him. I'm keen to know, is his brilliance on the pitch reflected by his brilliance off the pitch in terms of him as a professional and him as a character in that Ghana dressing room?
I would say I've worked with a few national teams. I've worked with some stars at other clubs. Overall, I was really surprised at the demeanour of the Ghanaian players, considering their, whether they be Manchester City or Lyon or Auxerre or Athletic Bilbao and Aki Williams. You know, these boys are celebrities and stars in their clubs. I haven't, as a whole, come across a group of more humble, down-to-earth fellas in all my time in football. The Iranian teams I worked with were humble, hard-working guys, but these guys were unbelievable, and Semenya was one of them. I observed him many days, pictures with kids, playing with kids in the car park before going on the bus. I walked into a gym one day. We trained at a university in Washington, D.C., and we were leaving, and we couldn't find Semenya, and I walked into the basketball gym. You know, those American basketball gyms, beautiful.
Yeah.
And there was a basketball camp had been going on, and he's in there shooting hoops with about 10, 17-year-old kids. And I didn't realize he was a competitive basketball player as a youth, and he actually wanted to be a basketball player. So he's shooting hoop, but I'm worried about him getting injured. So I'm saying, Antoine, come on, let's go. And he says, give me a minute. I says, come on, let's go. They just want to entertain themselves. So he's shooting hoops. And the kids are, you know, yelling and screaming and shooting hoops with him. And I said, come on, we got to go. And he said, okay. He took a basketball. He took two dribbles from the three-point line. He leapt into the air and he slam dunked it with one hand into the basket. And I went, wow, I wish I had my camera with me today. But it just shows you the athleticism and the explosivity. I've probably not worked with a guy as explosive. I don't mean we had guys that were really quick. We had four or five guys that were lightning quick. But somebody that can go from a jog and a walk into a full tilt, Antoine was impressive. But the humility that he came with, and that was in general as a whole group, they were really enjoyable to work with. And he was part of that, a really humble and pleasant fella.
That's available to listen back to now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Fresh from covering the World Cup, football writer and broadcaster Jonathan Wilson joined Colin Buhig on Off the Ball Breakfast on Thursday morning, and he talked about his experience of covering the tournament and how FIFA president Gianni Infantino avoided the glare of the media, while many fans, media and match officials, particularly from Africa, were rejected from entering the US.
In how the World Cup played out, okay, so bear in mind the trepidation beforehand and the pre-tournament press conference held by Gianni Infantino. In an ideal world, would Infantino be held to account by anything that happened during the World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, the president of FIFA should be held to account for everything all the time, everything to do with football all the time. He should at least be answering questions about explaining whose responsibility it is, but there is absolutely no accountability at FIFA. So there's a whole load of issues where I think FIFA and Infantino have very direct responsibility. Notably, one of their own referees, Omar Artan, the Somalian, not being allowed into the country. And there's Gianni saying, oh, this is the most inclusive World Cup ever. Well, so inclusive. One of your own referees, the man who did one of the two legs of the Africa Champions League final season just finished, he can't get there. And all this nonsense, oh, he's got terrorist links. Even if that were true, which I really don't believe it is, in the confined sort of environment of being a referee, where things like his phone calls are monitored to prevent match fixing, how big a threat do you really think that is? So, if the US had a problem with him, then why was that not flagged earlier? Why is that suddenly flagged by some border control guy in Miami who then detains him for 11 hours? If it really was a major issue, that could have been sorted out way in advance. It seemed to depend country to country exactly what the percentage was, but roughly, African fans and journalists who applied for visas, 80% were rejected by the US and by Canada. I mean, Canada seemed to get away with this, but I mean, they were just as bad. Mexico was a bit easier. The DR Congo fan who dresses as Patrice Lumumba, he was such a feature of the Cup of Nations. He went to one game, which was the game in, was it Guadalajara where they played? I think it was Guadalajara, yeah. But he didn't get to do the three games they played in the US, which is just, again, who gains by that? This guy's famous. Surely if there's a problem, you can check that in advance.
Yeah.
But there was a load of Scotland fans had their Esters cancelled at the last minute. So there was a whole load of examples of individuals sort of being crushed by the bureaucracy and system of the US and Canada, I guess, probably to a lesser degree, Mexico. Well, compare that to 2017, when Infantino is telling Putin that if a match ticket does not guarantee you a visa, then we will take the World Cup off you. That change of approach for sort of the sense that fans are simultaneously this sort of unit that you squeeze for cash, but also actually just an inconvenience. I think that's been really obvious at the tournament. And Infantino, of course, should be held to account for that.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. And one of Off the Ball's most popular slots, A Slight Tangent, returned to the airwaves last night. The lads covered a host of topics, including Argentina's World Cup final performance. Owen Sheehan, Mick McCarthy and Arthur O'Dea were on hand to debate some of the biggest sporting talking points of the week.
You should do a whole episode like that.
You're welcome along to A Slight Tangent, a slot that is back out of cold storage forevermore, because we're coming off All-Ireland Hurling Final Weekend, we're coming off World Cup Final Weekend, we're coming into All-Ireland Football Final Weekend, and I've been off for the last few weeks and I'd quite frankly like to take a flamethrower to the topics du jour. Mick McCarthy.
Michael McCarthy.
Michael McCarthy or Mick McCarthy.
Back.
Mick McCarthy.
This is a pleasure. I was like, and I missed your broadcasting professionalism.
Mick, good to see you. Arthur, welcome back.
Yeah, that's interesting as a theme or as a mood.
I should be backing this up with more facts than I actually have.
He was a good man to go and do an interview and call it a hill of a two smitch and, move on from there.
Right. A Slight Tangent at offtheball.com.
Oh, send us your thoughts.
If you've got any other accents that you want Mick McCarthy to do next week, do let us know.
Hill of a two smitch.
Is that All Blacks?
That's Kieran Reid.
It's like we've got a number 8, the legendary number 8 sitting beside us in the studio.
Oh, you should do a whole episode like that.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Daily podcast feed for free. Jurgen Klopp is expected to be announced as Germany's new manager at a press conference tomorrow. It's believed the former Liverpool boss has agreed a deal until the 2030 World Cup. The current Red Bull global head of football will take over from Julian Nagelsmann, who left after Germany's last 32 loss to Paraguay at the World Cup. Arsenal will have to do without William Saliba for an extended period after the France defender returned from the World Cup with a back injury, which he picked up in the semi-final loss to Spain. The Premier League champions say he won't need surgery though. And Aston Villa have signed Alejandro Garnacho on loan from Chelsea for the season with an obligation to buy next summer. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
Football Daily, on Off the Ball, with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.